Dragon, tonight, joined by Tim Cable. Tim?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Tim, are you hurt?
No, not yet.
Well, okay, because I have...
At my age, everything's a pain.
Yeah, well I have some bicep tendonitis, a broken elbow, a strained forearm, and everything else going on with the Yankees because everybody is hurt. And we need to discuss this. You know, we had nothing during the offseason to talk about, but who plays, you know, the infield? And now we have every injury, and none of them are to infielders. So let's talk about it. Well, maybe one of them's into an infielder. Let's just go through one by one. We got two bullpen injuries since we last talked. Tommy Kahnle is being shut down with bicep tendonitis. Apparently, MRI suggests that's just tendonitis, just inflammation. There's no tear there. We'll see. He's about 5 days into that shutdown. There's a good chance he could still make opening day. Lou Trevino seems like it's a slightly more serious injury, though. I don't really find a lot of good information on it. Lou Trevino has some kind of elbow issue that he is shut down for. So let's start off. Let's talk about the bullpen. How do you feel about these injuries? And you know, who do you think is going to take some of that playing time if these guys are out for a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the bullpen, considering which pitchers it is, I think this is something that's somewhat easier to overcome, especially if Kahnle is not going to be lost for a significant period of time. I think they do have plenty of guys there. They have Weissert. They have, his name's escaping me now, the guy who used to be with the White Sox.
And his Jimmy Cordero?
Yes, yeah.
He's throwing 99. He's looking good.
Yeah, he looks good. So I think they have enough options to basically cover Trevino's spot, or Trevino's spot, and also Kahnle until he's back.
To me, I think this just puts pressure on the big five guys, right? The big five guys are now Holmes, Loaiza, King, Peralta, and Marinaccio. And now that there's basically two fewer guys that the Yankees kind of know what they're getting.
Right.
And I think someone of that group is going to become a really good reliever, but, you know, we got to figure out who that is, and that's going to take a little bit of time. So if Clay Holmes comes out of the gate and doesn't look like a closer, if he looks like late 2022 Clay Holmes, you know, I think this starts to become a problem pretty quickly.
It could, but I also think they have enough guys to
Someone's going to be good out of the group. Like you know, I thought Albert Abreu was a dead man walking. Pretty clearly, he doesn't have any options. He gets to stick around a little longer, but I don't think he's going to do very much. But all the guys you mentioned, you got guys like Jimmy Cordero. You also got some young guys, Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, Will Warren, guys who are advanced and, you know, probably deserve a spot on a major league team, or at least a chance with a major league team. Right now, the Yankees are just kind of busy.
And Matt Crook is an option, too.
Yeah, Crook's looking pretty good.
He pitched three or four innings yesterday, I think.
I've seen some real, like, varying scouting reports on Crook. Like, scouting reports that say he's basically, he could be a Jordan Montgomery type. Scouting reports that say he's, a very back of the bullpen reliever at best. But I don't know, like, he's got a slider. And, like, it looks pretty good to me. I feel like he is a major league relief pitcher right now, and maybe this is the chance he gets.
And I'd read yesterday that after the game, I believe they sent Brito to minor league camp.
Oh, they did. Okay, yeah, he hasn't looked as good as the other guys, I think, in camp. The one theme we had with the bullpen before all the injuries is that the Yankees sure look like they wanted to have a couple of guys with options they can send up and down. Yankees have guys with options, Marinaccio, King, Loaiza, but you're not going to send those guys down really unless it's a real emergency. And so the Weissert, the Crooks, the Britos, the Jimmy Corderos, like they're going to go up and down, I think, all season, and maybe one of them will break out and kind of stick in the majors. That's kind of the way I think about this. I will say that losing Trevino, I think, is not that big of a deal, just because I don't think Trevino's all that good. I think he's fine as the fifth or sixth best relief pitcher in your bullpen, but the Yankees think can replace that. Losing Kahnle hurts, especially if it's going to be any longer than this. I mean, you just signed him to a 2-year deal. I think I was kind of hoping Canely would end up being almost a closer, but certainly a guy to get lefties out late in the game. I think I'm concerned about that. Just he had Tommy John surgery recently. You know, bicep tendonitis is something that sometimes precedes a serious elbow injury. You know, we'll have to keep an eye on that. But let's just move on and talk about the more important stuff. We'll stay on pitching. Carlos Rodon has a forearm strain and is being shut down for a couple of weeks as a precautionary measure. Now, you and I both saw some of the comments here. We both saw Rodon's interview with the Yes Network after the news was announced. He didn't seem super duper concerned. He certainly wasn't happy, but I don't know about your read of this. My read of this is he's probably not going down with Tommy John. He has an injury history, so we have to worry about it. Let's talk about who replaces him. So who gets the playing time? You know, who's now a starter now that Rodon is going to miss at least a few weeks, if not more.
Well, I think instead of the competition between Domingo Germán and Clark Schmidt for the fifth spot in the rotation, they're both in the rotation now. You know,
let's talk about the one at a time. How confident are you in Germán as now, you know, probably at this point, I think it's safe to say probably in the starting rotation unless he gets injured all season?
Well, I think he's sort of the Rodney Dangerfield of the pitching staff because he's actually very good. He's not great, but he's good. He's very good, and he never really gets a lot of respect.
And I feel like on most teams, he's a major league pitcher who pitches, you know, you don't really know that much about, but pitches 30 starts a year and is fine. You know, his expected ERA last year was 3.78. 2021, it was 4.09. He could go deep into games at times just because he gets so much contact. I also feel like, you know, he's one of those players that will benefit from, I think, the rule changes. Just in, like, if we have this more kind of contact-oriented game, he's somebody who will get weak contact. I don't know. I felt like a lot of kind of, like, fear of Domingo Germán this offseason that he'd be the kind of player that, you know, would really, like, sink the Yankees. But, like, I don't know, like, as a back-end starter, like, I think he's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
What about Clark Schmidt? How do you feel about Clark Schmidt as now someone who, I mean, for now is probably, I think, the fifth starter is my guess, and will get bumped when Rodon comes back. But other injuries can happen, and so I think now the chances of Schmidt pitching most of the season in the rotation have increased. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have felt very strongly that he's more suited to the bullpen. But, I mean, you have to do what you have to do in these situations. So, I think he'll be fine. I think he hasn't looked great in spring training, but he hasn't looked horrible. And I think he'll do reasonably well. And then when Rodon comes back, he could slide into the bullpen and take a variety of roles. So I think he belongs on the team. What an actual role he'll have at the end of the year, I can't say. I think it depends on need. But he could do a lot of different things.
And, you know, he's got the starter's repertoire. Even though, you know, I think we both agree his curveball is the reason why he's a major league player. And so you usually think about kind of fast, you know, good high movement, high velocity fastball plus curveball equals relief pitcher. But he's got a slider. In fact, he threw it much more often than the curveball last season. You know, he throws two fastballs. He's got a changeup. Right? Like, he feels like a guy who should be able to hack it as a starter, though. Yeah. In my mind, and you tell me if you disagree, I think he's much more of a Domingo Germán starter than he is a, you know, Luis Severino starter.
I agree. He reminds me of Phil Hughes.
He really does. And Hughes, if you look at his career, Hughes was not a bad major league starter. No. He was a disappointment just because, one, he was very hyped up, and two, he was, you know, I think, a legitimate top 10 prospect in baseball when he came up. And he just kind of never really recovered from his injury. But, you know, he pitched 1,200 major league innings. You know, he had that relief pitching season for the Yankees in 2009. That was just so important and helped them win that World Series. And then he got Cy Young Award votes at one point in his career. So, I definitely think that, slight disappointment relative to our expectations, but I think Hughes is, I'm with you there. He just has a very similar style to Hughes. And part of me kind of wishes that the Yankees had just converted Hughes to the bullpen full time.
Yeah, I think that might have been a good move, but he did pretty well with Minnesota when he went there.
Yeah, and he got the big contract, and now he opens baseball cards for a living. All right. I think the starting pitching is, we've gone through it. I think it's the least interesting of it all. I think we're both concerned about it, and I'll get at the end of the podcast, we'll kind of get a big picture concernometer from you. But I think the big news here is Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader has an oblique strain. They have not said it is a serious oblique strain. They also have not said it is a mild oblique strain, which means that this is about the worst muscle you can strain in terms of being a hitter, because it's all about rotation. And so he's going to be out for at least 6 weeks, and I suspect longer. And 6 weeks may be when he begins doing a rehab appearance, and then a few weeks after that. Harrison Bader has a long history of injuries. He's basically never played a full season. So this is to some extent expected, though I think at the start of the season it's a bit of a downer. What are your thoughts on the Harrison Bader injury?
Well, actually, I think it's better that he has it now than deep into the season. But as you said, you know, he seems to get hurt every year, so it's not unexpected. But I also think that the fact that it's early is better than if it were, you know, in the at the pennant chase time of year or going into the playoffs, then it would be worse. But and I think it's something they can cover up. I think they have enough options that they'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to disagree about that. I think this is a problem for them. It is the one injury they didn't want to have. But we'll talk about kind of where the playing time goes other than that. The one thing I'll say is I think an oblique strain at least is an injury that players recover from, right? It's not like it's like a, you know, he didn't break his wrist. He didn't have like a wrist injury or something like that that you end up seeing long-term hangovers for. So I don't think there's any reason to believe that Harrison Bader won't be back healthy eventually, and eventually this kind of all fades into the background. But the Yankees now need a center fielder, and they already kind of needed a left fielder. So I want to talk a little bit about the potential options that the Yankees have to replace Bader. I wrote about this on my Substack, and I gave four options, and I want to kind of walk through all of them with you. So I think the first option is Esteban Florial. Do you think Florial is what do you think about Florial as the short-term replacement for Bader?
Well, I've advocated for Florial, it seems like, forever, because it seems like he's been with the team forever. But he really hasn't taken the bull by the horns, as the expression goes. He hasn't really seized any of the opportunities he's been given. Now, he hasn't been given a lot of opportunities, but look at this year in spring training. He's really not doing a lot. So I don't know if he's the answer. I mean, he might have to be, but so far he hasn't given anyone any reason to be confident that he can do it.
And the Yankees clearly just don't like him, right? I mean, they had a chance last season to play him. I mean, they desperately needed an outfielder. Instead, they converted Oswald Cabrera to outfield. They called Florial up and didn't play him.
Right.
So like, I feel like this is the only reason why this is a discussion is that he's out of options, and the Yankees may not want to decrease the amount of depth they have. And so he might be a fourth outfielder or play a little bit, just so the Yankees, until they get some other guys back healthy, feel comfortable that, you know, they don't run out of outfielders. Do you think there's a world where he's the starting center fielder on opening day, or do you think this is purely a fourth outfield potential?
I think fourth outfield. I think you're right. I think they don't like him. I don't think Boone likes to play him too much.
He's got a big loopy swing that nobody thinks will hold up in the majors.
So I don't think on opening day, I would be surprised if he's in the lineup as a
We've been here, done that, right? I mean, yeah. Harrison Bader was injured when they, you know, in August and most of September, and they didn't play Esteban Florial. So I think I'd be very surprised if he's frankly even on the roster on opening day, let alone starting or getting a lot of playing time. Second option, Aaron Judge or Aaron Hicks slides over to center field. We can talk about who gets the playing time to replace them in the corners in a second. But first, what do you think about essentially the 2022 option?
Well, they might have to, but I know they didn't want to play Judge too much in center field. That was the whole reason, one of the main reasons they got Bader in the first place. So I think they would try to avoid that if they could. As far as Hicks, I don't think Hicks is an adequate option in left field. So I think his center field days are pretty much over. Boone may think they're not, and he may stick him there. So, see, that's the thing. You have to always take into consideration what Boone will do. Boone has this almost fascination with Hicks, so it is possible. I don't like it as an option at all.
I think Hicks has looked fine in spring training. Mm. You know, he's coming off that injury. He was still fast-ish last semester. His Statcast numbers are pretty good last year in as a corner outfielder and below average, but still not embarrassing as a center fielder. So I feel like this is not a terrible option. I think Judge is probably your first string player. And then Hicks would play a little bit in center in addition to that. To me, this feels like the default option. Like, I think this is probably what's going to happen. The two of them are going to mostly play there. You know, there could be a trade, but you know, I'm not even considering that right now. But Judge was the center fielder last year, and he had one of the best seasons of all time. So it feels like that's okay for now.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they're going to wind up doing. But I think it would be more Judge than Hicks.
I agree. So either way, that means you have another corner outfielder that has to take over that playing time. And so who do you think gets additional, assuming that Judge or Hicks gets the bulk of the time in center field, or combined, they get the bulk of the time in center field, who do you think is the outfielder that that gets the additional playing time?
Well, I think it's got to be Oswaldo Cabrera. If he's still at that point considered an outfielder, because he's proven he can play there, and you need his bat in the lineup. So I think if Bader's out...
It feels like they're
out,
playing him at infield more this spring than he is at outfield.
Yeah, I know, but I still think that he would be the one, as long as he's in the lineup, if he winds up playing more infield, then it would have to be somebody else in the outfield.
Yeah, I think this kind of solves the infield problem to some degree, right? Because now you have one less player you have to find a spot for. I still like my Anthony Volpe left field idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. What about Giancarlo Stanton? Do you think that maybe Giancarlo Stanton plays more than, you know, a game a week in right field now? Do you think maybe he plays, you know, every other game or so there, and then you have a DH, it's like a DJ LeMahieu?
You could. I mean, you could have an opening day outfield of Judge in center, Stanton in right, and Hicks, or hopefully somebody else in left.
To me, I think that's the most likely opening day outfield right now. You know, maybe, as you know, maybe you end up with Oswaldo Cabrera or a platoon situation there. But I think that's, I don't know, like, I think I would bet on that. At least I bet on a lot of Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield. I think he's looked fine in the spring. He looks like Giancarlo Stanton, you know, he's slow but athletic and probably okay at home, at least in right field. Not too sure about him playing in a bigger ballpark. I think the Yankees are probably going to sign Rafael Ortega, is my guess. They have to. He's I'm sure he's got an opt-out in his contract where at least they have to, like, April 15th or something to put him on a major league roster. He's gotten a lot of playing time. He's a player who I think I was a little surprised signed a minor league deal. I mean, he's not bad. He's a player who I think probably came to the Yankees because he thought there'd be a job opening, and what do you know, there's a job opening. He's a strong platoon player. He's about an average corner outfielder. He has played a little bit of center, though not very good at it. I think he's just on the major league bench to start the season.
Or maybe he's the opening day left fielder.
I think that's very possible. You know, again, he's a veteran. He played 118 games in the field last year and was a better hitter than Hicks, and I think about as good of a defensive player, maybe a little bit worse. So, yeah, I think that's an easy pick, and at least against righties. He has very strong platoon splits. He should not start against a single left-handed starter all season.
Right.
But the Yankees have a lot of right-handed hitters. And so if you could imagine a Stanton, I mean, I think I proposed this during the offseason, a Stanton, Ortega platoon in the outfield, right? Stanton starts most games at DH, but he starts games against lefties in right field. And Ortega is your primary right fielder against right-handed pitching. I mean, his splits just pop out. I mean, he is a very strong hitter against righties and a very bad hitter against lefties. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. I did mention another option that I think is interesting just because he's so hot in the spring, and that's Willie Calhoun. Do you think Willie Calhoun is a potential starting left fielder?
He could be. I think it's either going to be, if that's the way you go, it's going to be either Calhoun or Ortega.
And, you know, they're both lefties. I mean, they both were brought in for the same role. My sense is that Calhoun doesn't get a major league job anywhere. I think he's a player who might have been choosing between, like, a minor league deal with the Yankees and, you know, the KBO. But he has been so good in the spring. He has so much talent. I think if nobody was injured, I'd be pumping him up as a bench bat. He's a lefty. The Yankees need lefties. He can hit. He's got kind of a weird profile, right? He's a much worse defensive outfielder than any of the guys we've talked about. Probably should just be a DH, but is also a much more talented hitter than any of these guys. I just feel like the Yankees plan to send him to AAA to start the season, and therefore he's not someone they would lose if they don't add to the roster. Whereas I think Ortega goes elsewhere if they don't add him to the roster. So those are all the veteran options. And now let's talk a little bit about Jason Dominguez. So you told me right before we started the podcast of some interesting news regarding Jason Dominguez that I had not heard. So can you please tell the people the news?
Well, there was a quote. I just saw it a few minutes ago when they asked Boone about the young players, and I believe they were talking about Dominguez in particular and Volpe as well. And he actually said, never say never. So, I know the Yankees are pretty much 100% certain that they want to send Dominguez back to the minors, but they have an opening. He's been, I mean, I don't think you can argue this. He's been their best player in spring training.
Would you like to guess his slugging percentage in spring training?
Is it 800 and something?
It is exactly 1,000.
Okay.
He has one base per plate appearance on average. Absolutely incredible, and his home runs have gone far.
Absolutely.
You know, part of me is, like, the rational side of my brain is saying, look, he's got 5 games and during the regular season at AA, a little bit more in the playoffs. He's got some Arizona Fall League experience, but this is an inexperienced major league player. But I take Boone at his word that they're seriously considering it, especially now that they have this injury. And frankly, before the injury, they had a hole in left field that they wanted to fill. Why do you think they're actually considering calling up a 20-year-old player with five games at Double A. I mean, maybe this seems obvious, but what's the logic there?
Well, I don't think they want to consider it. I think this goes against everything Cashman and Boone believe in and their history. But I think he's forcing the issue by being so good. When you look at this kid, I mean, when you look at him in the field and the way he plays, is he raw? Yeah. I mean, does he need some refinement? Absolutely. But does he have tremendous ability? You can't argue that. And also, if I asked you right now, if you're sitting there, who's at bat do you really want to see if he's coming up in the lineup? I think he's one of the ones. He's at the top of the list. Not as high as Judge, obviously, but, you know, you want to see this kid at come up to the plate.
I mean, I think about immensely talented players as kind of playing by a different rule book in terms of development. I think any other player, you know, Everson Pereira, really talented, had a really good season at Double A. The year before that, had hit for a ton of power. I would not be confident in a player like him skipping multiple levels. But I think when you're Jason Dominguez is somebody who has an otherworldly set of skills, and maybe that doesn't translate into being a Major League Baseball player. He certainly wouldn't be the first player to flame out despite having the athletic ability. But the players he's been compared to, like, I get them. I Trout comparison. He looks like he's got that build. He looks like it. He's got all the skills. And I look at Mike Trout's history. He was called up when he was 19 years old. Probably wasn't prepared for it. He had a 672 OPS. Didn't completely fail at the majors, but, you know, I think they rightfully sent him down after 40 games. He'd only played 91 games at Double A, and then he gets 20 games at Triple A. He looks incredible. He bats 400, and they call him up in 2012, and he basically, like, is the best player in baseball right away. And he was 20 years old, and he just made the leap, right? He made the leap from being not a good enough major league player to being the best young player in baseball history in 6 months. And Dominguez, to me, has the kind of talent where I could imagine that. That said, I kind of want to see him do it at AAA first. It's a big jump to go from high A to the majors. The only player I can think of that ever did that successfully was Pujols. And maybe he's got Albert Pujols in talent, but, you know, I wouldn't bet on it. I also am, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, I don't like calling him up for an injury that's going to resolve itself. Like, imagine if he's having a good but not great start to his career. Let's say he has a 750 OPS, but also Hicks and Judge and Bader are all playing great. At that point, it becomes like an interesting question of what do you do? When I call up Dominguez, I want it to be intentional. I want it to be that the Yankees have decided that he is ready, and maybe they have to clear a spot for him, but they've decided that it is time to bring him up, not because a freak injury happened.
Well, I see that the logic there, but I also think you need to play the best player, and right now, he's the best. He's the best of all the options we've discussed for center field. Now, could he potentially struggle at the beginning of the season? Absolutely. But when you see him hit and you see the way he does things, that's ability and talent that's, you know, very few people have. And I think that sooner or later, he's going to be doing that. And I think the best thing that happened to him was that he went to the Arizona Fall League and struggled a little bit, because I think that's what's made him so much better in spring training. That experience is what I think.
I buy that. I tell you, I don't know. It's interesting to know when you're watching a player that could be an all-time great. And it really feels that way watching Dominguez. Watching Volpe, I feel like maybe we're looking at the next great Yankee shortstop, but I don't feel like you're looking at, an inner circle Hall of Famer potential. even in the best case scenario. You know, maybe he becomes like a Derek Jeter type, but you know, I don't think he's even that good. But like, I don't know, like watching Dominguez, it really feels like you're watching something special.
I agree. I think when I look at him, I see the whole group. I see Peraza as a very solid major league shortstop. I see Volpe as somebody who's going to be probably a second baseman and equally solid, maybe a little flashier than Peraza because of the steals and the hustle and all that other stuff. And then I look at Dominguez and I see him, just like you said, I see him as a superstar. Cabrera, in my mind, is kind of like a Paul O'Neill type. Not a star, not a superstar, but a fan favorite.
Paul O'Neill would be one heck of an outfield. I see him as more of a Scott Brosius type, right?
I think
good enough,
better.
You know, as a supporting player, but not someone you'd want at the top of your lineup. Though he's also, I think, just like a great person to have around. He's so positive. I saw an interview he did a couple of days ago with Meredith Marakovich, and he was just having fun. Like it was really fascinating. He's the golden retriever by his own admission. Yep.
No, I was gonna say, I think, and just the way he, you know, they bat him usually in the third or, you know, up higher in the lineup. I think he's gonna, and he has more pop than one might think looking at him. I think he's gonna be a pretty solid contributor wherever he winds up playing. But as you noted, I think Dominguez has the most potential of all of them. And you know what? If he comes up and if they did bring him up at the beginning of the year and he played and he wasn't tremendous, but he was solid, then when Bader comes back, you stick him in left field and you send Hicks to, I don't know, China.
Well, and Hicks and at that point, I mean, Hicks could be an interesting trade piece if he's playing okay, and also other injuries could happen. Like I think there's potential here to see Dominguez. I think we're going to see Dominguez this season. I think the question is at the start of the season. I put down one other potential option. It's kind of a boring option, but one we actually might see, Michael Hermosillo. I wrote down the reason why I think he could start the season on the major league roster, because he is available, he is expendable, and of all the players we've talked about, he's the only plus center fielder. I hope. I mean, it's kind of very much the boring option. I mean, I don't really think. You tell me if you have any thoughts on him. There's not a lot to discuss about him, but I think at least he's your AAA center fielder now. You stash him for kind of just in case there's a problem, but also I think he's probably had a flurry all in the race for actual center fielder.
Probably.
Yeah. Not an exciting option, but he's a guy who's really beat up AAA before. So maybe one of these years it kind of clicks. He has like a Mike Tauchman season or Mike Tauchman career.
And all you know, they did put Cabrera in center field at least once already.
I mean, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is the other guy we haven't really talked about, but it seems to me like a player that I would be trying in center field. I mean, he's faster than Cabrera. He's a versatile player. I think he's played a little bit of outfield during his career, though I'm not sure that all that much. But let me move on, because I want to get kind of some go back to the big picture. So how are you feeling? We all Yankee fans have some trauma related to injuries. How do you feel about the Yankees right now, now that we have some injury news?
I'm not that worried. I'm not that, because I think...
Give me a out of 10. One to 10, 1 being not very worried, 10 being extremely worried.
How about a 2, maybe okay. A 3? No, I'm not that worried.
See, I'm going to go for a 4 because I think the Yankees are one non-infield injury away from being in trouble. And that could be a starter. It could be an outfielder. It could be we didn't talk too much about Anthony Rizzo, who his back has been acting up. He was scratched from today's game. You know, we haven't seen that injury yet, but they're not that far away from having a pretty diminished team due to injury. But you tell me why I'm wrong. Why are you not as worried yet?
Well, because, by the way, Ortega is playing center field today.
There you go.
I'm not that worried because of the timing of the injuries and also the severity of the injuries. I mean, if it were Rodon needing Tommy John surgery, then I'd be really worried. But it's not. It's, you know, Rodon, I think that it's more of a precautionary thing from everything I've read and heard. And he'll be back fairly soon. Canely, you don't know necessarily. Trevino, as we noted, he could be out a while, but it's not like people are sitting home chewing their fingernails worried about Lou Trevino. And then Bader, that's probably the most significant one, but it did happen early. He's motivated to get back, and, you know, I think he'll get back as quickly as he can. And if he winds up missing the first month of the season, that's something I think they can survive. They did last year.
And, you know, they get to take half of that injured time for spring training. And so it's not like he's missing 2 months of the regular season. He's maybe missing a month of the regular season. I buy it. I just, it feels like they're teetering on a knife's edge. I wish one of these injuries wasn't, well, I just wish one of these injuries was an infielder instead of an outfielder and a pitcher. So we will continue to monitor that. I want to quickly check in, though, on the shortstop situation. Who do you think is leading the race for starting shortstop right now?
Well, everybody was talking about, you know, how tremendous Volpe looked, and it's true. But he's cooled off a little bit, and I think Peraza has been steady. I think it's going to be Peraza because, you know, almost in a way, you know, he's already on the roster. He did play at the end of the year last year, and he looked very good. If you go to Volpe, then what happens to Peraza? It's almost like you're throwing him out. I think,
yeah, he doesn't make sense as a bench player, really.
No. So I think you go with Peraza. I would like to see Volpe start the season as the second baseman, but right now you have Torres there. If something happens, if they make a trade, then you could have them both there. But I think ultimately you're going to look at those two as your double play combination. But I think Peraza is going to be the opening day shortstop.
It feels like Kiner Falefa is now going full bench role.
Yeah.
He's been starting at positions other than shortstop. So the first couple of weeks of the season, he was purely a shortstop. He's at third base today. He was at second base yesterday. Peraza and Volpe in the split squad game were the two starters at shortstop, and both were leading off, I believe. And I believe Volpe is leading off today.
Yes.
That seems like a signal, right? Like there is no – that like the Yankees are just saying, look, nope, Kiner Falefa, you are third baseman, second baseman. You're going to play all over the field. And, I mean, I think that's a good thing. And I think I agree with you that I think that means that Oswaldo Peraza is the winner of the competition. Cabrera has also played a little bit of shortstop, but again, that just feels like them kind of getting a player ready for a super utility role.
He's playing second today.
What do you think about Falefa as a bench player?
I think he's fine. I think that's what he is. I think last year he was sort of, he was what they wanted him to be, the stopgap to play shortstop. He wasn't spectacular. He was adequate. But I don't think adequate earns you the starting job when there are better options. So I don't think it's like, you know, they're taking someone who's going to have a, well, it certainly shouldn't be the case that he has a bruised ego at being the bench player, because that's what he really is.
I mean, he spent a lot of his career as a backup catcher.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I would go and say that I actually think he's a great bench player. He does a lot of things, and I got a post on Substack coming out on Monday about this. He does a lot of things that are very bench things. So he is one of the best contact hitters in baseball. I think he's like 92% strikeout rate, 99% whiff percentage. So he's good at swinging and putting the ball in play. And when he puts the ball in play, it's not particularly hard. But there's a lot of situations where you just want to put a ball in play. The Yankees have struggled over the years to do to get runners in from third base. And I feel like he's about as good of a player as you get. I mean, late in the 2022 season, I forget what game it was, but there was a play where he made a really big late inning bunt. I think it was a squeezed play even. And to me, that is a perfect bench player, especially when the Yankees have so much versatility that they can afford to, say, pinch hit for Gleyber Torres, or I'm trying to think of a non-contact hitter, heck, Giancarlo Stanton, late in the game, and get the one runner in, maybe even like an extra inning game with a ghost runner, get the runner in, and then Kiner Falefa can pinch run, and he can, you know, come in and play a variety of defensive positions where they can shift guys around. That's why you have a versatile roster, so you can do stuff like that. You can use the specialist player. He's also pretty fast. He's not a burner, but I don't know. Falefa strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to see the biggest boost from the rule changes, because he can't really, you know, steal bases at will based on his speed. But he seems like he's a kind of a smart, wily baseball player, and he's got enough speed that when he make it a little bit easier to steal bases, he can I think become a real weapon there.
He's sort of a modern day slender version of Luis Soho.
And that Soho won a lot of championships.
You know, exactly.
I think he is a good version of Marwin Gonzalez.
He does
everything Marwin does, but better. You know, you wouldn't want Kiner Falefa to be a bench player who plays full time, right? Who's the guy who takes over for an injured player. The Yankees don't need that. I counted 6 second basemen, 4 shortstops, and 3 third basemen right now. But I think that he is the kind of player that you want to play in specialized situations. Marwin's problem was that he was not great at he wasn't great at anything. He didn't have a specialty, and he wasn't good at taking over for anybody. He was just a pure replacement player. You know, Kiner Falefa, I think, you know, could really carve out a real role here. He's getting paid a lot of money for that role, but, you know, that's fine. The Yankees have it. I've always said the Yankees should overinvest in their bench a little bit. Are you concerned that the Yankees will kind of give him veteran status and play him over? Even if Peraza is the opening day shortstop, do you think that Falefa is going to get more games than he deserves because he's a veteran?
Yeah, I do worry a little bit with Boone that if that option's there, he'll just go to it by default. But then again, you saw last year when Kiner Falefa had the problems in the playoffs, Boone retreated almost instantly from him. So I think if that were to happen, all it would take is Kiner Falefa to make an error. And then he would be right back to that bench. No.
Oh.
I mean, if he went to Kiner Falefa, mm-hmm. And started giving him more and more time, all it would take is for him to make an error and he'd go right back to the bench role.
See, I'm concerned that Peraza gets a very short leash. That, you know, he's a rookie. You're going to expect him to make some mistakes. And I feel like the first time there's like a high profile mistake, you could potentially see Kiner Falefa as, you know, like become a starter, get a couple of lucky hits, and then kind of keep the role. I don't think the Yankees will do that. I think they're smarter than that, and I think Peraza is just such a special defensive player that, like, the gulf between them will be pretty obvious. But also, Peraza's kind of got to perform, right?
Yeah.
Like Peraza, we don't know if Peraza's going to hit. He hit his top line numbers were really good last year, and, you know, what, 40 plate appearances. But his, you know, he hasn't done it in the majors long term. That said, I think there's a world where Peraza's like your leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
He's fast. He had a 3.43 xWOBA last year, which is like fourth or fifth best in the team on the team. I mean, really good. And he was really good in the minors. He's really talented. He's not just a purely defensive player, even if that's his strongest skill set.
I think you're right. I mean, he was at the end of 2021, he was really doing well in the minors, and he was hurt. He got off to a slow start last year, and then he was hurt a little bit, I think, but he wound up...
From, like, May like 15th on, he was, like, a 500-plus OPS hitter who could hit home runs, not just a light-hitting guy.
Yeah, I think he hit 19 home runs.
He hit 19 home runs in 99 games last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that, he had 18 and 115. So he could hit 15 home runs in the majors easy, much better than Kiefer Falefa.
And what I didn't realize, Michael Kay pointed it out on one of the broadcasts, he said he saw Volpe and Peraza standing next to each other, and he said Peraza's much larger. He's a big guy, and muscular.
He's 6 foot 200, right? So yeah, not a small guy.
No,
kind of like star shortstop sized.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like because of Volpe, because of kind of just the way in our heads we picture good defensive shortstops, that you kind of, I have an image in my mind of Peraza as a light hitting strong defender, but that's just not necessarily true. He could be both, right? He could be a guy who hits 15 home runs, has a .290 on base percentage, and is a plus defender, and ends up being a really good player.
He could wind up being Rookie of the Year this year.
He could be a little Rookie of the Year. He could be free. Like, I don't think it's that insane that Oswald Peraza has like a pre breakout Francisco Lindor season. Lindor, I forget what year it was, but like 3 or 4 years into his major league career, he just like started hitting home runs. But before that, he was just this supremely good defensive player who hit well enough. I don't know if he's going to be, I think like Lindor was like a plus +3 win on defense kind of guy. He was just that good. I don't know if Peraza is that good, but like he could certainly be like, one of the top five major league shortstops defensively. And then if he just hits a little bit, then it's all of a sudden you're talking about a really good player. There's a reason why Anthony Volpe, who, you know, is this supreme offensive prospect, is being considered for other positions right now. I also think the sign that Volpe is definitely heading down is that he's playing shortstop. 'Cause you're right. You know, you got to do something with Peraza if you send down Volpe. And if Volpe's going to have a spot in the major league team, it's going to be at third, second, or left field or something, not at shortstop. And so he's playing shortstop every other day. It sounds like he's going to go play shortstop at AAA.
I think they may move him over to second base when he gets down there based on what happens, too. You know, I mean, if they do trade Torres, then he's going to be playing a lot more second base. And he's proven he can play second base. So, you know, let's say he is playing a lot of shortstop in the minors and they trade Torres on April 5th, then him coming up and playing second base is not going to be a huge adjustment.
Yeah. But on that note, we are pretty late. We've had a nice long podcast. Tim, thank you so much for joining me. Everybody, thank you for listening. Let's go, Yankees. This has been your Bronx Beat podcast.